Whether it is meandering through an out-of-the-way yard sale early on a Saturday morning, or we leave the house first thing on Black Friday with well-detailed plans, we love to find a good bargain. Finding something at a fraction of the price. But as Wendell Berry reminds us, to love anything good at any price is a bargain. It is, as the psalmist said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good," that some things are worth our dedication. Psalm 118 is a Hallel psalm, meaning it was sung and used by travelers coming to Jerusalem, particularly around the time of Passover, that people would take a pilgrimage at Passover, visiting the temple in order to celebrate and remember how God rescued the people out of slavery in Egypt. And they would shout, "Hosanna," meaning to save, asking God to save them yet again. But even though Psalm 118 both begins and ends with giving thanks to God, right there in the middle, it still recognizes the inherent risk of God's love. For the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Perhaps you have played that game, Jenga, where you take all those wooden blocks and you stack them up in a tower, and then everybody takes a turn, where one by one you remove a block until the tower collapses. And at first, it's rather easy, just picking a block at random and removing it. But gradually, over time, it becomes extremely difficult. To where it is our turn, we stand up and we walk around the tower, studying it at every angle like a surgeon, trying to decide which block to remove, because the entire tower stands on just a handful of them. And then there's that moment where we reach out to remove the block, and every nerve in our body is tense. Our hand is almost shaking. That when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, there was this risk where everything could fall apart. Because Rome still controlled Israel. People were forced into slavery to build the emperor's next pet project while increasing taxes on the poor and the vulnerable. In fact, in the region of Galilee, where Jesus grew up, Herod Antipas decided to build the city Tiberias, right there on the Sea of Galilee, in honor of the emperor, in order to increase the tax base and expand Roman influence, and to prove in the emperor's eyes that he was an asset. It was his way of campaigning to become the next king of Israel. The only problem was all of the peasant fishermen could no longer work freely. They had to pay more taxes, perhaps even sell their catch at a market owned by Herod Antipas. So on Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem and everybody cried out, Hosanna, recognizing Jesus as the next king of Israel, it's no wonder he got in such trouble with the Roman authorities. And Jesus would clearly be a different kind of king, riding into the city on a donkey. Like the prophet Zechariah said, your king will come riding on the colt of a donkey, that a military leader would have ridden in on a horse, the symbol of war. A humble leader would come on a donkey. That Jesus came in meekness, which has its own kind of risk. But he came in that way, as Psalm 37 says, for the meek will inherit the land. Or as we know the Beatitudes to say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And before entering Jerusalem, it says that Jesus and the disciples were there in Bethany and Bethphage, and we're fairly certain where to find Bethany on the map. But we are not quite sure where Bethphage was. So in many ways, Bethphage could be any place where we are invited to participate in the grace of God. Whether that is going to fetch a donkey, like all of those tasks that take place behind the scenes, or whether it is riding into the city in front of others, embracing meekness in all that we do, caring for the people around us. Either way, there is risk. And whether we go looking for it or not, there will always be those moments in our lives where we have to make a choice whether to join the parade or not. Whether to take our cloaks off and to throw them down, making a way for the love of Christ. And when we throw our cloaks down, they are bound to get a little dirty. I still remember T-ball season as a boy. And the best part of the game, no surprise, was getting to bat. And before the game, you always put on your uniform, which was always washed the night before. There was always bleach sitting on the washing machine during T-ball season. But secretly, you didn't want your uniform to be clean. That deep down, you hoped that the field was wet and muddy. Because there was nothing more exciting than standing on third base, waiting for your teammate to hit the ball and running as fast as you could to home plate and sliding into home, getting covered in dirt. I still remember how exciting that was. But I now know what my parents were thinking, because it's what I was thinking as a parent. Right before they slid into home, you had to look away because you knew there are some things that bleach can't get out. But right after they slid into home, and you looked back, you saw the utter joy on their face. And it reminded you Sometimes it's good to get a little dirty. Supposedly, it was John Wesley who coined the phrase, cleanliness is next to godliness. And I don't know if Wesley said that or not. But I do not think it squares with the riskiness of the life of Jesus. Because we find him caring for the leper, showing compassion on him. We see him sitting down to eat with tax collectors and sinners, dealing with all of the criticism around him. We see him talking about planting seeds in the dirt as a way to share the love of God. We witness him in the middle of a storm, surrounded by the fear of the disciples. And there he is, feeding the 5,000 that apparently the risk of Palm Sunday was nothing new. That when we throw our cloaks down, they are bound to get a little dirty. So cleanliness is not next to godliness. But there is something else that John Wesley said that gets closer to the truth, where he wrote, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can." That our cloaks will get a little dirty. That it is roll up your sleeves, sweat on the brow, lessons to learn, fear to confront, and effort to give. And as one writer said, you can't do all of that and keep your bow tie straight at the same time. The private writings of Mother Teresa were found and collected after she passed away. They're preserved in the book, Come Be My Light, where we discover how hard the risk had been for her. That we know her as the Saint of Calcutta, caring for the hurting in the slums. We remember her picture on magazine covers when she won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979. But her journey started with a small promise. That in April of 1942, she wrote, "I made a vow to God to give to God anything that God may ask." It was a small promise with great risk, that it was her Bethphage, that she decided to go and fetch the donkey, to throw down her cloak, to shout Hosanna, to join the parade. That to us, her life seems larger than life. But she also simply cared for the person in front of her, sharing the love of Christ. That we embrace the risk because the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Amen.